I want to commend you for taking us to the next level.
Thanks.
It was really good. Good for you.
I do what I can, you know? 102 of these things, you learn some things.
Open up the soda ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slurp the shit out of this just to...
I will probably accidentally belch into the microphone.
I will pride. There's been less than half a dozen instances of burping. Everyone has been an accident.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my pet peeve. And I feel like we've done a good job. And I guarantee you, if it's happened six times, there's been 12 apologies for said burps.
Oh, yeah. I think burps are funny. Burps aren't funny in audio. Burps with audio plus video, funny. Burps in just audio, not funny.
I don't think I'm a, I'm not a bodily function humor guy.
If that's all it is, then yeah.
I feel like if it is paired with embarrassing someone, then it could be hilarious. Like if like a bride is up there and then shits her pants on while she's doing her vows, hilarious. Poop jokes in for general, not funny. Because it's not the poop that's funny, it's the embarrassment of it.
See, I was having this conversation at work today. So one of the new guys, he's the new guy.
You're not the new guy anymore?
I'm not the new guy anymore.
Good job.
They got another contractor in there. His favorite show is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Which I agree with him is hilarious, mm-hmm. but I can only watch like two or three episodes at a time before it starts like hurting my soul. Like I have too much empathy to just because watch assholes be assholes to each other. Like, so like the cringe stuff, the embarrassment stuff, I think I have too much empathy to watch that kind of stuff. I think a bride shitting her dress, I don't know. It's funny in Bridesmaids. But she wasn't doing her vows yeah. then. She was just shitting on the street in a wedding dress.
Yeah. I think that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going all right. Something happened today.
Okay.
So nothing major. It's not like, oh, something happened today. Turns out I have AIDS. No, it was like, so
you don't know you don't have AIDS, do you?
That's true.
You didn't get any tests saying that was negative.
Yeah.
It's still out there.
But didn't get any tests saying it was positive.
Think on the positive side. positive side.
So our CTO, our chief technology officer at the place that I work, his daughter works at NASA. She is a data scientist. And... she, as like a just a fun little project, fed a computer the transcript of every Star Trek Next Generation episode and had it write some scenes, right? So she gave a presentation on all the like technology and everything behind that. It was super geeky. It was super nerdy. And like I learned a lot of things and I learned a lot of things that I really want to go out and practice. But I can't wrap my head around the very first thing I learned in said presentation, which was that my boss's daughter, my boss, whose name is Kevin, named his daughter Kevin.
Are you serious? We just had a conversation about Roland Burroughs and George Foreman. And your boss's daughter is named Kevin.
Yes.
Wow.
My boss Kevin named his daughter Kevin.
So Kevin Ann. So he thinks highly of himself, obviously.
Like her, I guess like her, all her online stuff uses the handle like Kevin is a girl. Like she works for NASA. And the whole, like when I learned that, like, Thursday or Friday when he was talking about this presentation, I was like, oh, cool. And now I'm just like, she did all that in spite of the fact that her name was Kevin. Yeah. Like, not only was she a woman, like, in modern society in a STEM field, but also she was sidled with the name Kevin.
Yeah. Little did everybody know there's an unrecorded Johnny Cash song called Girl Named Kevin
yeah.
that he just never got around to recording. That's horrific. What is the, how conceited is this guy? And how big of a pushover, presumably he's married. How, like, she obviously got steamrolled by him.
I don't know. I guess.
That's not even a name that, like, could possibly go one way or another.
Didn't like, even go, like, Kavina.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Georgina.
Yes, exactly.
Like, Kavina.
Or Rolanda, or, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't even throw it a middle name. At least Michael Jackson had the foresight to put that as the middle name for his daughter.
Yeah. I don't know.
What a monster.
Obviously, you said it, not me. That was not me.
No, this is it.
Listening, Kevin, you shouldn't be listening to this.
All views expressed are
it's really dumb, and I feel like you're smarter than this.
A strictly Russ. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that might tell you, like, so if he's a CFO, he's analytical.
CTO.
CTO, I'm sorry. He's analytical, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously that's a plus minus black white thing, right? Like mm-hmm. it's not like he's in human resources that it's really trying to figure people out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Does he know that's not how it works? Maybe he just thinks that's what you're supposed to do.
I don't know.
He's like, my dad's name was
He's
Kevin.
Also one of those people that's like incredibly smart, like super smart. You could have conversations with him and like blow your mind how smart this guy is. But watching him sit in front of a computer and try to work it was the like, funniest thing, because like if it's just a command line he can fly through it, I'm sure, but just having him operate Windows and like flip back and forth between her presentation and then like we're gonna watch this YouTube video which is part of her but not embedded, like so good.
Years ago I was at the public library and I watched he wasn't even old, but I watched a man go over to get a librarian to come over to help him at the computer. And she did a time or two. Mm-hmm. And then things start, I don't want to say heated because that's the wrong word. Like he wasn't being mean to her, but he was mm-hmm. just very insistent. So I was trying to eavesdrop and he was like looking at a car or something mm-hmm. that he wanted to buy online. And he was like asking her information about the car. Right. And she was like, I don't know. And he was very insistent.
The car is in her library yes, now.
The car is.
So she needs to know about
in
it.
In your library. You are the librarian. Mm-hmm. This is your computer telling me the information about this car. This car is your responsibility to know about. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how you don't know more information about this car. And it went back and forth. And she was a saint. But she was very much like looking around. Like I made eye contact with her at some point, and I think she was like, random patron of the library, please help me get this man away.
It looks red. There's a picture there.
I hope she sits her pants, because that would just be the only thing that could make this better. But it was pretty painful, and I really did feel bad for her because it's. This guy was not getting it. Like, I think finally he was like, okay, fine, I got it. Like, she walked away. He's like, oh, I can't believe she didn't even know about the car in her library.
Yeah. It could have been worse. He could have just been trying to look at porn.
I think that's like a problem, right? Like, people just looking at pornography in the library.
Yeah. Old people, homeless people.
Yeah.
Because that's like their home computer.
I don't like being at work and like scrolling through Facebook or something, and then like something slightly like bathing suity pops up. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my god, who's looking over my shoulder? That's gonna see me, think that I'm looking at some smuts.
Yeah. Work at a software place. You will find the things that you Google are crazy.
Yeah. Well, I also have to be very concerned about, like, female people that work for me. Like, that's not what you want. Like, I have to maintain the degree of professionality. You know
Decorum.
What I mean? I can't just be, like, scrolling through my Tumblr profile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a profile.
I mean, you have a Tumblr page. You have a Tumblr blog. But now the Tumblr blog won't have porn.
I don't. Yeah, you told me about that. It's devastating. I got to save all those Clive Barker archives.
Yes. Clive Barker's, it's all going to be gone now.
Yeah, because there's penises.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part about this is when they announced that we're going to go no porn, their stock immediately crashed. And so.
Didn't you say Yahoo owned this?
Like, yeah. I know Yahoo bought it. I don't know if Yahoo still owns it or what. But, like, their stock crashed. And then memes posted to Tumblr about Tumblr stock crashing.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting flagged as inappropriate by Tumblr.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds very Trumpian.
So, yeah, it's pretty great.
That is good. And maybe horrible if that's where you love getting your porn.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun place to get porn. You never knew what you were going to get.
Is it just a roulette of porn?
Well, I mean, there were always some very specific blogs, if that's what you're into. So I think there's a certain subset of the population where it's like, I'm going to have to find a new place to find that one thing that I like so much that it's the only thing that gets me off anymore.
Yeah. We've talked about that. I wish I had a thing.
Yeah.
And my go-to is always referencing that I can't finish unless I'm choking on a button. That's like the most specific... That's like the most specific thing that I can find.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I feel like.
Because your mother was a seamstress.
Yeah, it's so Freudian. I feel like if you're going to choke, a button would be a safe thing to try to choke on because it's got those little holes in it, right? So it's just like, I feel like I'm choking, but I'm not going to die.
Okay. I thought of a joke. And then I wanted to output joke, but then I realized that I'm physically incapable of doing so. So my joke was, hey, Russ, how's it going? And then I was just going to whistle
mm-hmm.
because you've been choked on the button
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're just blowing through the holes. But I can't whistle.
It's like in Frosty the Snowman.
Like that just sounds like wind.
Remember when he swallows the whistle?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. That's what it would be. Mm-hmm.
Except a button. How has your week been?
Uneventful. It was going pretty good until I felt like I had a really good segue from Frosty the Snowman Christmas, Black Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of ruined it.
Cool. We Black watched Christmas. A movie.
Synopsis for Black Christmas?
It's a sorority house. And they keep dying, and it's Christmas time.
All of those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
Overall thoughts?
I don't care.
Yeah.
That's my biggest feeling about this movie?
Yeah, so Black Christmas, first of all, do you know who the director of Black Christmas is?
Shit.
Nope.
He
Guess two.
He... it's the director of A Christmas Story.
Yes, Bob Clark, the director of A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a huge Black Christmas fan either,
mm-hmm.
but it is considered a very big classic of the genre. This predates Halloween, mm-hmm. and it's got a lot of things very similar to Halloween.
Sure.
So I can appreciate it.
But you don't appreciate Halloween.
But I don't. I appreciate Halloween from a factual and... analytical standpoint, but I don't feel anything for it.
Like your wife.
Yes. I appreciate she feeds my children. She bathes my children. She does my laundry. I could take her a lever. but how cool is it that Bob Clark has two total Christmas staples in two totally different genres?
Sure.
Completely unrelated to one another, and they are definitely Christmas movies that huge portions of the population hold very dear. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think huge portions is kind of over exaggerating Black Christmas, because A Christmas Story is huge.
Hold on, let's go back to the tape. What did I say?
You said huge audiences.
No, I said huge portions.
Uh-huh.
Take these two, so when you if you have A Christmas Story, which I'm going to make up a number, 10 million people love, and you take Black Christmas, which 1 million people love, you still have a huge group of audiences that love the...
I think it's more than 10x.
I think I even said don't count one of the... Let's talk about the movie.
I didn't count the numbers. I counted the magnitude. And that's what I compared. That's different.
The sorority has a hairy Christmas tree. Like it looks, It's like, is it so much garland that it looks hairy?
It's like very tinsel-y.
Yes. Yeah. That's what, yeah.
Not garland. Yeah.
You're, yeah. Mm-hmm. The, have you seen the pictures of Trumpet's Christmas trees?
The like scary red ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what these look like. They're like hairy. Like, it's weird.
I don't remember them being tinsel-y in the Trumpet one.
I don't, but they're not tinsel-y. They look like felt to me. Like, they look like there's some weird funky texture. They look like a Muppet. Like, if you put if you put eyes at the top of it, it would look like it was alive.
Do you want to learn something fun? Do you want to know something fun I learned recently?
What'd you fun learn?
You want something I learned I fund? Did you know that NASA almost killed Big Bird?
No.
So, we land on the moon, right? Everything's awesome.
According America, to the official story.
America, rah, rah. We go back to the moon a few times and kind of nobody cares. Then we build the space shuttle. And, like, now we can go to space and come back and land and everything's awesome. But very much immediately, nobody cares again. So they're like, we're gonna get people to care about space again. We need more little astronauts and engineers. So we have the space shuttle. Let's send someone to space. And the very first person they thought of was Big Bird. So they extend an invitation to the Muppeteer, I don't remember his name. And so, like, in the talks, like, he realizes, oh, they want me to do this, like, as Big Bird. They don't want me, they want Big Bird.
Yeah. Why don't they just take a real astronaut and put the Big Bird costume? Just send, I'm kind of serious, just send the costume.
Sure.
Because it's not like they're going to wear it.
But then they need, like, performance, like, when they're in space and stuff. So, okay. So then, like, they're in talks, and then, like, suddenly both sides realize Big Bird is 8 feet tall. He's never going to fit into this thing. So they scrap it, and then they decide, let's send a teacher into space. And unfortunately, that was the Challenger.
I felt like I knew where this punchline
yeah.
was going to end up, yeah.
So that's crazy. Like, yeah. It's like when you learn that Seth MacFarlane was meant to be on the plane that crashed into the Twin Towers.
I didn't hear about that. I knew Mark Wahlberg was going to be on one of them.
I did not hear about Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
But yeah, Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be on one. Big Bird was supposed to be on Challenger. It's like craziness. The world is weird.
Do you know what else is crazy?
Black Christmas?
The odds that the father who is looking for his daughter that is missing in a sorority is mm-hmm. walking through the streets of the college and randomly stops a guy and says, excuse me, do you know my daughter? And he knows her.
Not only does he know her. It wasn't the boyfriend he stops. No. But, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
at like a what's supposed to be a huge university. Do they say what it is? I don't remember.
I don't know. I do know that it's like Jim Gaffigan has this joke, and he's like, I'll meet somebody and I'll tell them I'm from Indiana, and they're like, oh yeah, I've drove through Indiana once. And he's always like, what am I? Yes, I remember you. You were a very good driver. Like, I feel that way. Like, I'm guilty of it too. I'll say like, oh, I went to this college. And he's like, oh, I went there. It's like, if we knew each other, we'd already know each other. I don't know but I do it too. It's just that connections you find.
It's like, people. Oh, you're black. Do you know Carl? Nothing?
No. Okay. Mm-mm. Even if I was going to laugh, I wanted you to just languish there.
Pretend racism.
So there's a sorority, mm-hmm. and the girl's boyfriend shows up, and he is wearing this big ass fur coat that looks like a gaudy rich woman would be wearing it.
Like Cruella de Vil.
And I read the trivia, and that was his own personal fur coat. Like, he showed up on set and Bob Clark was
yes! This is fucking going in the movie no matter what. I love this coat.
I also was looking at him. I was like, that guy looks like Malcolm McDowell. And then I also read in the things that said Malcolm McDowell turned on the role. So they just went and got a Malcolm McDowell lookalike. That dude was also like 40 years old, and he was playing.
Did he turn 18. It down to do A Clockwork Orange? Because that would be crazy.
I guess the timing's about right, right? Yeah, that would be crazy.
Ish. I don't remember exactly when o'clock.
I don't either, but it's in that ballpark for sure.
Yeah. So one thing we forgot is, or not forgot, because this whole movie is kind of forgettable to me, but there's a POV shot mm-hmm. of somebody climbing up mm-hmm. and then climbing in.
Yes.
I was 100% convinced that that was going to be completely innocuous, that it was going to be like the gag that, oh no, it's the killer, he's walking in, and then, oh, it's somebody's boyfriend or something.
Nope, it's the killer.
It's the killer.
It's the killer. Like, the movie is very linear in that way. It's like, there's a killer, he goes into the sorority house, mm-hmm. he's in there the whole fucking time. Like, they tell you the whole time, this dude's there. Like, it lays it all out for you. Like, there shouldn't be any surprise at this point.
Yeah.
He strangles a girl in, to the film's credit, a pretty visceral way. Like, he's got her head in a bag, and you see her breathing in, and she can't breathe. There's no way to fake that. Obviously, he didn't do it for that long, but it is a visceral kill. And I think that's the thing why people do hold this movie in high regard. It is a pretty mean movie, but before movies were really mean.
Yeah. What do you think is the most uncomfortable kill you've ever seen in a film? Because I have my answer.
I remember the guy getting lit on fire in Samurai Cop was pretty pretty uncomfortable, sure. I would say.
But for different reasons.
I think The Crow probably has a pretty uncomfortable one.
Okay, I feel like you're not doing this in the spirit.
Samurai Cop was in the spirit.
That one's uncomfortable because, like, you know that you're uncomfortable for the actor.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant.
No, you said, like, okay. Well, what I was thinking is, like, have you seen No Country for Old Men?
Yes.
When he strangles the cop with his handcuffs.
Okay.
And just, like, the blank look on his face is, like, the most mundane thing ever as this cop is gasping for air. I feel like the most intense, uncomfortable death I've ever seen.
There was a movie we recently watched, and there was a fire scene, and I remember wanting to make the point, and then after we were done, I had forgotten about it. Maybe House 3 or something, but mm-hmm. Somebody is on fire, and then they kind of end up in the corner of the room, and they're like, legs are moving uncomfortably. Like, it looks to me like they're actually in pain, but they're in too much pain to jump around and flail around like you would in a movie. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be House 3 that I genuinely thought was uncomfortable.
I don't remember who's on fire other than...
It might not be House 3, but it might be House 4. It might be anything. But I just recently we watched something that somebody was on fire, and it did have that very uncomfortable moment where it was like somebody's last throes or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's dead, and she's in the attic the whole time.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So she's chilling in the attic.
Yeah. So she's in the attic. We don't need to fast forward totally, but it takes another like day for anyone to knock on our door, mm-hmm. and then it takes like two more days or something before anybody decides. Like, they know she's missing, but no one has like gone in her room.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a sorority too, so I think there's a lot of I've passed this person, I missed them, I didn't see them.
But like, if someone's missing and her dad has shown up,
oh yeah, yeah, no, at that point for sure. I thought you meant like if they didn't notice her at first or whatever. That's completely understandable how you could miss somebody,
because they don't go in there until like they think the killer's up there or something, and then Peter surprises them.
Yes. I watched this a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My next note is giving 6-year-old alcohol.
Yes.
Fill in the context of that for me.
Margot Kidder. Mm-hmm. There's like this Christmas party thing. And yeah, she just hands the kid some alcohol.
Fun fact. Back when we had Matt Shaw on, mm-hmm. he was referencing periods. And he said like his go-to woman would be Margot Robbie. Mm-hmm. In my head, I thought he was talking about Margot Kidder. And it, like, we moved on from the conversation, but I was really trying to, like, I was like, that is.
I mean, they've both played DC characters, so
like,
I get it.
Like, if he was like, I want to see Margot Kidder from Black Christmas, or if he was like Margot Kidder when she was in her 80s, like, I didn't know.
I mean, if you're going to go Margot Kidder, you got to go Lois Lane.
But I've never seen any of the Superman movies.
Well, she was Lois Lane.
We need to start another podcast where Russ watches the classic movies like Rocky and Superman and Die Hard. Like,
well, we are going to do at some point remake the MCU. That's what I've decided to call it in my head. And that's what we're doing.
Nice. I like that. It's a good name.
Yeah.
It's a good name. So turns out it's not Margot Kidder.
Yeah, it's not Lois Lane. It's Harley Quinn.
Yes. Go ahead.
My favorite character in this whole movie is the drunk house mom or whatever.
Yes, she is good.
Yes.
She's
a bad cat owner.
She's
a great character.
She used to be, you can tell this is one of those people that used to be, she used to be one of these hot sorority girls. And then it was just like alcohol has overtaken her life. And that's what she's become.
Yeah. Like she married some hotshot, got divorced and then just started drinking.
Yes.
Now this is
and
her life.
Never stopped. Her boyfriend has like a piano recital where he is trying to get his doctor. I don't know. He's trying to graduate. So he has to do a recital, something along those lines. He's got some big recital he has to do and he doesn't do great. So he proceeds to break apart the piano.
Yes. With a mic stand.
I've never understood that mentality of like it's not performance art of like breaking things because you get mad. Like all you're doing is compounding your problems. Like it might get it out immediately, but all you're doing is compounding your problems. And now you have to replace a fucking piano.
So, about a year ago, probably not even that long. Like, you know, those stupid fights that you have. I got into one with Marianne and I was really mad and frustrated and stupid. And I punched my own wall. Right? So now I have a part of the wall that like taunts me because it says, look at this. This is where you got so angry and so stupid that you punched the wall as hard as you could. And it's not even like a hole. It's like a dent. You weak fuck.
It's
a double taunt.
In every way, yes, exactly. Yes. It's not even this manly hole.
Yeah.
It's like that's awesome.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Ninja?
Mm-hmm.
You know Beverly Hills Ninja?
Of course.
Have you seen the outtakes for Beverly Hills Ninja?
Because I had that DVD or whatever. Actually, I think there might have been outtakes. Are there outtakes like over the credits or something?
Because
I remember Chris Rock chasing after a chicken like a billion times.
That's probably in the end of the credits. But there's a deleted or there's an outtake where there's a scene where he has to like he's hiding from somebody. So he jumps through like the paper wall. And Farley missed his mark at one and jumped into a stud and knocked himself unconscious because he ran and dove through but dove into a stud in the wall.
Ouch.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes around killing people, right? This is where we get our famous line, the calls coming from inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
That was new to you, right? You knew that line. Yeah. Did you know where it was from?
I thought it was from Scream.
No. It's not from Scream. It's from Black Christmas.
But doesn't he say it in Scream?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like he says, doesn't Shaggy say that towards the end? Like mockingly?
Maybe, but it would have been referencing this, just like everything that always says that is referencing this.
I know. Well, I know that now.
You do. That's why I'm trying to talk about it.
Right, but I'm just trying to say that I think it was in Scream.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But I could be wrong.
And
it's just all I'm saying.
And I really like the ending of this movie, that there's like genuine tension at the end where dude's trying to get in and chase her. And I know I just jumped all the way to the end, but
yeah.
I don't feel like there's a lot in between here.
Yeah, I have What a Showman, which is the you referencing about him smashing the piano.
Yes.
Then I have This Movie is Boring. And then I have "Don't go upstairs, you idiot." And that's the last thing I have for that.
Yeah. So I felt like this was the time to do it. And it is kind of a classic and it's a remake. So it was like all the reasons for us to do a movie all crashed into one.
It's a remake me episode.
It is a remake.
Except the fact that it's on time. The fact that it's timely because we never are timely. We always watch like the Halloween movies in like the spring and like Jason movies when the podcast is not going to be on Friday the 13th.
You say always. I bet you if you look back, we've been doing all right. Mm-hmm. Like remember last Thanksgiving, we watched Blood Rage, which is a Thanksgiving movie. Sure. And You're Next, which isn't a Thanksgiving movie, but feels like it should be. That counts. It's a
family dinner movie.
That counts.
Or friend dinner movie. No, it's family, yeah.
This is where we usually have an interstitial.
A what?
An interstitial.
Interstitial.
Got anything for us here?
Did I tell you my story about my boss's naming his daughter Kevin?
Let's go over this again.
Kevin named his daughter Kevin.
That's awesome.
I was debating whether or not I was going to tell that because I'm like, I tell everyone at work to listen to this, and I feel like none of them do. But on the off chance that somebody does and then relays that. But also, fuck it, it's hilarious. I want to share it with all of you.
To be fair, I feel like I said worse things.
Oh, you certainly did. Yeah.
And I don't think Kevin can fire me.
No, I don't think Kevin can.
What about Kevin? His daughter, Kevin.
Kevin is a girl.
So going back to what her thesis or whatever she did with this program, mm-hmm. did it spit out usable, cohesive screenplays or teleplays, I suppose?
Well, she fed in transcripts, so it basically spit out transcripts, but then she ran it through Google Voice and gave each character a different voice. So by the end, she just had like an audio clip of it like saying stuff. And so it made a little bit of sense. But, like, there weren't, like, stage directions or anything. There isn't an overall plot. It's just, like, so it analyzed whenever a character talked, what's the next character that is, like, likely to talk?
So this is, like, the screenplay and then software.
When it started talking, like, what's the most likely would it finish it with?
So this is, like, the screenplay software that tells who interacts with who and things like that, right?
I don't know what you're referencing.
So there's screenplay software that you can look at like a flowchart. Flowchart's the wrong word, but it's like bubbles that show you who interacts with who the most, so you mm-hmm. have an idea.
But that's yeah.
That's the same idea.
Right, but this took in 7 seasons worth of stuff and spit out a brand new episode, basically. I mean, it wasn't even a full episode. I think she only did like just a few scenes, but...
It's more than I can do.
Oh, yeah.
But I also feel like you got like that close to like really pulling something off. I would have tweaked it and then had it. Like this feels to me like in Willy Wonka mm-hmm. and the Chocolate Factory when he inputted all the information and then the computer was like, fuck you, I'm not telling you where it is. She needed to keep going until the computer like spit us out the new J.J. Abrams movie.
Okay. She did The Next Generation. The J.J. Abrams is